Here comes a new challenger. From 8-bit to 35mm, game pads to the silver screen, your favorite video game characters are on a quest to become movie icons. Can they unlock the achievement? Let's go for broke! It's time to press X to reload.
Let's make this simple. Just tell me where I can find Rugal.
It's not simple. He's in another dimension.
Oh, here we go with the dimensions bullshit.
Dimension, there's only one dimension.
Dimensions, dimension. Nobody travels to another dimension and fights in underground tournaments. It doesn't happen.
Thank you.
I have.
Oh, of course you have. Have you lost your frigging mind? You actually believe you've gone to another dimension? That's it. That's it.
Terry.
No, I'm taking you off the case.
Wait a minute.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Press X to Reload. It's time to tap your Bluetooth headset and teleport to another dimension, hopefully filled with great video game adaptations. I am Nick Moore, and joining with me as always are Wayne Brissett and Mark Athanas. Wayne.
Hello everybody.
And Mark.
Hello. Welcome back.
Welcome back. It's been a short stint away, but we've come back with a real zinger. I just want to start, and I know we've said it many times, I'm going to find the good in this. King of Fighters! Oh boy! I didn't know that they made a movie out of King of Fighters. I'm only vaguely aware of the actual video game property.
Agreed.
I now know why I was not aware of King of Fighters. It may have been swept under many, many rugs and then buried under more rugs. It is... Calling it an adaptation is probably being very generous, and I'm not even that familiar with the source material, but I can see some fast and loose play happening here. But Wayne, Let's start with your opinion of it. Do you have any sort of association with the Art of Fighting, King of Fighters, that particular genre of the fighting games?
I'm familiar with those fighting games, the Fatal Furies, things like that. I'm aware of the King of Fighters. I don't think I've ever played the King of Fighters. I may have played a Fatal Fury. But my fighting games were typically Street Fighters, Mortal Kombat, Tekken's, Battle Arena, Toshinden's, even things like that. Calibers, things like that were kind of what I went to. But you know, it's been a long time since we've been back doing this. This has been the longest stint we've went in between episodes or segments.
Yeah, possibly.
As you will.
Yeah.
And this is what we came back to.
A true challenge of our mission statement.
So
a true challenge.
it really is a bad film.
It is.
It's just poorly put together. Mm-hmm. I can start with the one good thing.
Okay.
And that is the quality of the film. The quality of the film, undeniably, is sharp and polished.
Okay.
I will give it that.
The image quality.
The image quality. Everything looks good. One of the worst things is costume design, but we'll get into that. It's not... Half of the movie, me and Christina are looking at each other like, I don't even know what's going on. Like... Some people, no matter how much you prove something, they still disbelieve it. Others, other dimensions look like some axe throwing place. Like, I don't know.
Mark,
in short, I did not like it and I will not watch it again.
Yeah.
Mark, are you going to be of the same mind, or do you have a different opinion to bring to the table here? Where are we sitting at?
Well, you know, it occurs to me it's almost Valentine's Day and you've made us watch this, and it's not because you love us. So,
or the opposite.
It's tough love.
I'm with Wayne in that it's a bad movie. But do you ever, it's a bad movie. I'm not going to debate that. There is no way around it. And I knew it was a bad movie about 2 minutes in.
Okay.
And
that's pretty quick.
You ever?
Yeah.
Just quick. Get you right. It's just the quality, just because here's what got me, okay? And this is a thing, this is both a positive, I'll say, for it, but also the negative for me. I like members of the cast. I like Maggie Q. I liked the main hero guy. Like, or all at least right. until he turns heel or whatever. I don't know, whatever the heck. But I liked members of the cast. I don't hate Ray Park. He's not an actor. And the thing that got me, though, was watching the opening fight sequences. I was like, you know, I think choreography is good, except
it's not.
They don't shoot it well.
Yeah, it does suffer
like,
from
I
that.
I just thought, yeah, like I was like, you know, I can't, and again, I could be wrong because I couldn't tell, but I was like, I think the choreography is good here, but I actually can't tell. And then they would do something really cheesy. I'm like, maybe the choreography is bad, but then they do something else. I was like, that looked like it was almost good. Anyway, 2 minutes in, I knew it was going to be bad. So sometimes when you know it's going to be bad, I started to enjoy it in spite of the movie because I was laughing at it constantly, like just absolutely ripping it apart like Masterpiece Theater myself. Just yeah. So
see, it took me a little longer because I thought the quality was there. And like you said, the actors were there. So I was like, okay, this is kind of a surprise. Are we going to get something hidden gem out of this? It took a little longer before I was like, oh, no, this is garbage.
Do you want to know the moment for me? The actual
moment? I would love to know the moment.
That's why we're doing this.
In the choreography, she runs away from the guy for a second and hides behind a shelf that has nothing on it. Like the shelf, you can see him through the shot. He can see her and she's hiding. And I was like, what? And he doesn't pretend he can't see her. He's like, ho, 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 so that's how it's going to be. And it's just like, wait a minute. Is she hiding right now? It's just, I just started laughing. And from that moment on, the ridiculousness of things they did. Like, I think there was a shot where she's sliding on the ground and they've used that shot twice where she's like, I guess supposed to have enough momentum to slide.
Yep.
But she obviously didn't. And it's obviously the actress's face. And they obviously use hijinks to make it look like she's sliding. Like it's like all it was is like a 1 foot slide. It's not like she had to slide across a room. It's like she had enough momentum while diving to do a short slide. It's clearly not. And again, this is the opening fight sequence. So like that was it for me. I was like, okay, I got it.
I'm not going to argue if it's a bad movie. What I will say is very quickly into it, I stopped viewing it as a normal film and started looking at it as a pilot for like a sci-fi original cheesy martial arts show.
Sure.
And it kind of matches the vibe of that. It's not bad for that.
Yeah.
And then it got boring 20 minutes in and never recovers from boring, which is frustrating. It does have moments. That fight at the beginning gave me hope. Yes, it's cheesy.
I agree.
Yes, it's ridiculous. But they would have these 3 second long takes where there's decent choreography. Like Maggie Q can do action. She does a whole bunch of like other same kind of quality stuff where it's action first, story second. But hey, I love those types of films. So great. Give me that.
She was not the problem with this film. She was actually good.
No. Oh yeah. She's hands down one of the better parts.
Not the problem. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was confused because they don't explain anything in the opening. So when you have it opens up and I'm like, okay, Shameless shower opening where she's showering and it's a tasteful movie. So fine. You don't see anything. We're not talking Chung Li in the animated Street Fighter where you see a little bit of TNA. It's all covered by steam or camera angles. Fine, whatever. But then she puts on her towel and puts on an earphone piece and looks longingly off into the distance like Black Panther at a Civil War, and suddenly she's in a completely different environment. Yep. I didn't know if she was remembering a flashback or not.
Yep.
I wasn't sure. I was like, is that what's happening? Is she fighting in her mind? Is this imagination? It turns out, no, the Bluetooth teleports.
I thought it was more something like in the mind, almost like virtual.
Yeah. I thought it might be that, like they're virtual. Telepathic fighters. But no, it's dimensional travel through Bluetooth, which is pretty wild, but I can make my peace with it. I'm just confused by why it exists because I, not knowing much of the actual King of Fighters and Fatal Fury and whatnot, I couldn't help but look up the source material to see, okay, is that what those games are? No, they're just a fighting tournament that takes place all over the world. They're just Street Fighter with different characters.
But well, that would be a cool idea if King of the Fighters is grabbing characters from other fighting games. What a cool idea that's a dimension.
It's not a bad idea.
They pull these fighters and say, yeah, you're great in that dimension. You're great in that dimension. But in this dimension, there's only one and you're the king. of all fighters. Mm-hmm. And you can pull from all these games. That's pretty cool.
I don't mind that part. If you're going to do an adaptation, that's not bad. It's the only change I can see they've made that I like. All of the character changes seem pretty rough. If I was a fan of, like, Terry, for example, I'd be pretty mad at this movie.
Well,
some of these characters are butchered.
I didn't even know it was him until he put the hat on.
I know. Like, oh,
God.
He's one of the only characters I recognize. I didn't even catch him
when he had the orange vest on. I was still like, what a terrible costume.
But I got to say, as much as you're saying that, like, yeah, whatever, it wasn't a bad idea or whatever, because in the opening, I was like, oh, it's virtual reality. When they jump the shark to its dimensional travel, I was like, what? Like, it kind of broke me a little. So when it was just virtual reality, I was like, okay, cool, virtual reality, I get it, man, that's cool. Like, you know, no risk, everyone can fight, you know, everyone is safe.
Sure.
And I was like, wait, what? They actually travel to another dimension and people are just happily doing this to become the King of Fighters? Like, what is happening here?
They never really make it clear what being the King of Fighters really gets you.
Nope.
I didn't quite, like, Wayne, did you notice?
No, and the problem with that is because they're poor representation of what the other dimension is.
Yeah.
We saw three sets.
Yes.
Majority of it was this axe throwing place where it was just wooden walls and hallways. Then there's like the vagabond streets of New York and some weird hexagonal, I don't know, concert stage thing with all these mannequins. Yeah. It was like your dimension means nothing to anybody because we don't see what's at stake here. And if it's for title, it's like, well, over who? There's nobody here to reign over. So
yeah,
I
didn't get it.
It was a while in the movie. I actually thought I hallucinated it the first time when she's fighting the first guy and that floating snake ball shows up.
Okay. Can we talk about the snake ball?
Like
they don't explain it at first. And it was just like, and then it's gone. And I was like, did I miss something? Maybe I didn't see what I thought I saw.
All right. I got to talk about the snake ball.
To watch it again.
Because the snake ball also has a really bad moment of a character saying something that I misinterpreted. The snake ball is called the Orochi. That's what it is. Apparently it's some sort of, I don't know, that's what gives you the power of the King of Fighters. I didn't hear that. I heard orgy. Okay. So when you have the...
It's already a better film.
The heel turn character who's trying to like resist it. And she's like, you know, succumb to the power of the orgy. I was like, all right, sign me up. What is happening? And then you see that ball. I was like, what is that? Is that a ball of snakes? F***ing? And then when they call it the power of the orgy and you find out that's the orgy, I'm like, it is. It's a ball of snakes having an orgy. So now I'm not sure if orgy is the right way to describe it. It might be the power of the orgy. I'm just saying.
Okay.
It's possible. You know, speaking of orgy, though, when they introduce the two girls that become Ray Park's henchmen. Oh,
his concubine?
So when you first get introduced to them and you realize, okay, these two girls have a relationship. Man, I'm sorry. There is such a porn quality. Right into the fight scene, we're like, I think this fight scene's going to end in hot sex.
Yeah.
And of course it didn't, so we were really disappointed.
But they never anything.
When I finished watching, I said, this is the worst porn I've ever seen because everything about this is like a porn script and porn acting. It's just no porn in it.
Those two girls are like leaning in towards each other and saying seductive things and almost kissing, but not. It's like they really want to imply, hey, we've got a lesbian relationship, but the director said, no touchy, no kissy, no nothing. It's weird. Yeah. Like, just commit. Yeah, just do it, man.
Weird.
You already have a snake orgy. Just commit.
Yeah.
It's so true. Yeah. The snakes get to touch.
It's extremely weird.
It would have been better. Yeah. Just saying.
The snakes were touching.
It's true. The snakes were all over each other.
What's funny to me is, like, you call it the snake orgy, and now all I picture is that time the guy punches into it.
I know.
Gets power from it.
That's funny. He penetrates the snake orgy. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's a better movie that way.
Oh my God.
It's such a strange movie. And again, it is painfully boring at parts, but there are fun moments. I'm going to jump way ahead. You've got your multiversal reality hopping nonsense, but when they end up in hobo reality, that's amazing. Because up until that point, every reality they go to has no people, and they go to one that looks like, I don't know, Detroit out of Predator 2, and there's just hobos everywhere that want to fight them? What?
Yeah, that made no sense.
It's great. Because
we were like, who are these people? Are they choosing to leave reality to be hobos in this reality? Like, what?
Or are they like previous King of Fighter entries that lost to Ray Park? Is that, do you become like a space hobo if you lose?
I don't know. Like, he seems like the rules aren't defined.
Well, and like, I don't, so I had a, it's so funny you mentioned that because honestly, one of the weird, something I found weird about this movie is that I just found it felt the world, not the dimensional world, the world felt empty to me.
Oh, yeah.
And it was kind of like when they go to that auction house place and he's like, oh, come with me, best seats in the house. And he sits as far away as possible and there's no one near them and there's no one in front of them. I was like, you could have sat in the front row. Like,
yeah.
So like the whole world felt empty.
The movie feels like they wrote the script while they were on set. It doesn't feel like anything was written ahead of time. It feels like they improvised and then tried to make it work afterwards. Like one thing that killed me, the CIA guys or FBI or whatever they are that are watching the main characters as they go into that auction house. He says to the rest of the people in his little van, does she know about the cameras? And the characters look up at an obvious security camera on the wall, not hidden. Camera. It is a CCTV camera, like something inside a convenience store. And he's like, does she know about our cameras? Did you install them on shift while the auction house was open? Like, how more obvious can you be? Well,
you obviously installed them for everyone to see them. They're giant cameras. Like, it was just the funniest thing.
I couldn't tell. Are they supposed to be secret? I was bizarre.
I also felt like things were purposely prolonged to extend the runtime. It's like it's like they had to meet a runtime and they couldn't. So they're like, we're going to have to do this or this. The part that lost me, Mark, ironically, it was a little further in, but it annoyed the hell out of me. This goes back to the FBI guys, the guy who played Terry. Two things with him. One, even when he sees people disappearing, he still is like, are you telling me?
Yeah.
He still doesn't believe in other dimension. It's like, so you believe that people can literally disappear and reappear.
They teleported away.
The thought of another dimension is just not possible.
He watches it happen.
They literally teleport away in front of him, and he did not buy it.
He still doesn't buy it. Are you still going on about this dementia thing? Yeah, you mean the thing when you just watched everybody disappear? Yeah, that.
But it's like the fact that he sees the guy spit blood at a thing and disappear. What did he think happened there? Like, what? I was just like, what?
Yeah.
But not even that. So, when his other teammate, Maggie Q, who's apparently an undercover operative, when she disappears to another reality, she teleports away from him. And he's still mocking her about it and not believing. Dude, this is the one person you should trust. She is literally your partner on the force. And you don't believe her. She's got firsthand experience. She's in the multiversal Kumite. Like, what more do you want?
And you saw it happen.
But the part that that lost me and annoyed me and showed that they were prolonging the runtime was they're at the graveyard. It was Maggie Q and anti-protagonist guy that they're setting up.
Okay,
and they finally gave us more story of what this is really about, what's going on. You're like, okay, I get this scene. You're catching the audience up to everything. Then they're like, we're gonna have to go to the other hero's house and tell him about all of this. And you're like, cool. And then literally when she says we have to go there to tell him, it cuts immediately to them in his room talking to him. In a normal movie, they would just walk up and say, hey, we got some information to tell you. And then it would cut because we already know the information you just told us. And they literally go through the exact same dialogue.
Yep.
We just watched the scene prior. We had to hear the exact same story all over again. It's like, what is the point of this? You just told us.
And it's not even like they're recapping something from a while ago. It's the next scene.
It's the next shot. Like even the music cut. Like everything just cut and they're in the next room and they're redoing. It's like they filmed that twice. They didn't know which one they want to take. So they put one back in to prolong.
It's the equivalent of like a Dragon Ball Z recap where it recaps immediately after the event happened. That's what it is. It's a Dragon Ball recap.
Okay, I know. We just saw it.
Yeah, that's the best part. You gave the audience exposition twice in a row.
If we're going to talk about the main hero, so not Yagami, the hero that might secretly be a villain and not Ray Park, let's talk about how the main hero is a young Japanese boy who grows up to be white. Because I want to discuss that.
I want to know how that happened. I was more interested in that. We were both like, at what point in his life did he transition?
I looked this guy up. This guy comes from Texas. Sean Ferris. Nothing against him as an actor. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But Sean Ferris Texas is playing Kiyo Kusanagi. And in flashback, he's an Asian kid. He's
a Japanese boy. He's a
it threw us for a loop at first.
Asian child.
When they did the flashback and we saw
puberty
the Asian
whitewashed
kid,
him. It's amazing.
We thought the blood sport story was going to happen. This was this guy's son, and then this kid comes in, and his kid dies, and he takes him on as a son. We honestly, for a split second, thought it was going to be a blood sport thing. Nope. Then we're like, oh no, this is him. Wait, he's an Asian kid.
Nope, not anymore.
But he's not Asian
anymore.
Like
I said, puberty hit him different than most.
Yes.
Ridiculous.
Like you said, within a single movie, they whitewash the character.
Yeah. Within the movie.
Within the movie.
And you can't even make the argument of, well, the whole cast is like that. No, he's one of the only white dudes in this movie.
Yeah.
So I don't understand how he got the part. It's not like he's a terrible actor. He's not so good that he overcomes that particular qualification.
Well, he was in another movie.
He's not Robert Downey in a Tropic Thunder. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Exactly. I recognize that kid from another movie where he was in like an MMA movie with Jamon Hounsou, but...
So maybe it's because he can fight?
So maybe it's because he could fight, except they filmed the fight so poorly, they wasted people who could fight. Yeah.
Yeah, they wasted Ray Park. I don't know how you manage to waste Ray Park. Though I will say... The fight between Ray Park and Will Young Lee at the end, so between our villain Rugal and Yagami, is probably the best fight in the whole movie.
It's agreed.
It's a good fight. And you can tell these are two guys who are confident enough, and the director had enough faith that they actually let them do long takes and let the camera pull back.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? We should actually just show we got to find somebody who's never seen the movie before and just show them that fight. Say, hey, is this a good fight? Or did we watch such a bad film that when this fight came, it was just like, thank God something is happening. So we just assume it's a good fight.
So we saw a 6 out of 10 fight that now suddenly felt like a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Ah, it's like being it's like when you've driven too fast for too long and all the speeds feel different. Yeah. We watched too much garbage for too long and now we'll accept anything.
Exactly. That's very possible
Even saying that, there are moments in the fights, even the ones that aren't super great, that I really love. When you have Terry and Maggie Q fighting against the two lesbian lovers who have been, I don't know, like mentally dominated by Ray Park so that he'll fight for them. The one lesbian lover has Maggie Q jump and land harder on the stairs and smash through a flight of stairs. And then another person lands on that same woman and sends her through a second flight of stairs.
Yeah, that was a cool scene. Yeah.
That was great. She went through two flights of stairs in one fight. That poor woman. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
So like small things like that, or when the guy's like, what did you do? And then the villain gives a firsthand demonstration of what he did by just beating the snot out of him exactly the same way. calls it the villain, suffers the same fate. Like, I just, amazing. Little moments, not much.
Yeah, like, that's kind of the thing that I was almost enjoying about the movie and then laughing at was like, I was like, they've got good choreography here. They could do it. They're so close to not fucking this up.
Oh, yeah.
And then they would do some crazy cuts, some crazy angles.
Yeah.
Like, this badass fighter from the beginning, I have to talk about this because this made me laugh so hard. The opening of that movie, Ray Park infiltrates this building with these clearly valuable things being watched by the FBI, and he's just a guy with a gun, and he's basically like, hey, who are you? Hold on, I've got my ID and my gun! Like,
I know!
And that is what he does all the way through.
It escalated so quickly. And he whips a shotgun out of nowhere. And then has Uzis on top of it. Like, the guy has an arsenal underneath that jacket. It's great.
Yes. It's whole... And again, I'm laughing at the movie here, but I was just like, this is awful. And again... What a waste of Ray Park. You established the first guy he encounters was good enough to be in the King of Fighters tournament. So when Ray Park walks up, this could be the first fight to show you this guy is competent. He's at least on par with Maggie Q's character because she beat this guy already. No, he's like, oh yeah, I got my invitation right here. And he just shoots the guy.
It's weird.
Oh my God.
If you watch Ray Park in like a serious action film, he's not a bad actor. He can do menacing. I don't think he can do comedy, and that's the problem. His villain in this is like the Mask. Like, he's constantly changing personas and whipping out like comical, zany crap. He's hitting dudes with baseballs at one point.
It's like they gave his character from X-Men Toad more lines.
Yeah. He does not have comic timing. He doesn't. Yeah. I'm sorry. No. He can fight and he can look menacing. He's not funny. So him trying to be a funny villain is really rough.
Yeah.
It's painful. But I will say he can be unintentionally funny. You have at the end of it.
Yes, he can.
When they have all three of the items, they've got, what is it, like the shield and the sword and some other stupid thing. I've already forgotten whatever the third item is.
A mirror.
But a mirror. God,
the mirror.
This movie. Yeah. But they surround Ray Park with these three items so they can create like a triangle of energy to trap him.
Hmm.
And maybe I'm missing something. Maybe it's because it's magical or it's mystical, but it's not like a force field. It is a line of energy between these three things creating a triangle.
Like a limbo ball.
Yeah. And he does not,
under.
Yeah.
He doesn't duck under it. He doesn't jump over it despite being able to leap 50 feet in the air.
Yep.
He just goes, you've got me. And lose. Like, what? What is happening there? Duck. Just fall to the ground and crawl away. Like, I just.
That's so true.
It's painful.
Super painful. Laughing at the movie when maybe I shouldn't be.
Oh.
I was dying.
Well, you know what?
I was dying.
They probably, but when they were filming that scene, they probably told them, when the effects department puts it in, it's going to be this.
There you go.
Cage. So act like you're. You can't do nothing, and then they ran out of budget and said, oh, I'll just do three beams in.
That is some green screen trickery.
Yeah.
100%. That is 100% what happened here.
That said, he has one legitimately funny moment, and because I like Ray Park, I'm going to hope that he came up with this. When the main hero, our newly whiteified white boy, when he shows up in virtual reality, multiverse world, whatever it is, for the first time and tries to face off against Ray Park, and Ray Park just kicks him and he flies right off screen. And then does it again to him when he tries to stand up to him. He kicks him off camera twice with a mule kick. I was literally in tears laughing. Because the dude just, it's like that shot in Django Unchained where Django shoots that woman and she just flies impossibly sideways off camera, but with a kick. It was really good. I hope he made that suggestion to the director, because it's the only legitimately funny moment that character has. It's great.
It made me laugh. I don't know if they meant it to, but
I have no idea. If it was meant to be serious, once again, unintentionally funny, because it looks Saturday cartoon level of comical. It's absurd.
Yes.
But those are the moments you have to hold on to in this film.
So true.
I don't know if I missed something, but when he fights him, at the end, I felt like he punched him three times, but when they cut to the actor, they went overboard with the makeup. He looks like he's in a Rocky movie. He's like,
he's beat to death. It's great.
He's beat to death. And I was like, I think he hit him three times. It's amazing.
Like, I tried to go over my notes because it's been a few days since we watched this. Oh, we forgot to mention Coma Man.
Oh, his dad. Yeah.
Coma Man. Oh. 10 years. White boy's dad is in a coma for 10 years. Doesn't talk to anybody.
He's catatonic. He's like, he moves around, but he's catatonic.
But here's the thing. He's catatonic. I apologize. But they make it seem like it's a condition. And when Yagami shows up, dude breaks out of it immediately. Screams that he wants to murder him and then flatlines right there. So I'm now convinced he wasn't catatonic. He was being incredibly goddamn stubborn and would only deal with Yagami. He ignored his son for 10 years.
10 years.
Like, the level of spite is commendable. What is happening in this movie?
That is exactly how that scene plays out, where it's just like, no, he was fine.
That's too weird. It's really weird.
I checked my watch 5 times during this film because of the ups and downs. I tried to go over my notes afterwards. Like I said, it's been a little while, and my notes make no sense. I have random things like Darth Maul lost to a ribbon. I have no kissing lol. I have, and now sensual yoga. I don't remember sensual yoga, but apparently it happened in this film. And I have, why is he so white? Those are my notes. Yeah. That's what I got.
It's funny you said you checked your watch a couple times, because I remember Christina's like, hey, pause it. I got to go to the washroom.
And she never came back.
No. We hit pause and we saw like 32 minutes and 33 seconds and she stopped and we're both like, it's only been 32 minutes. Right? I swear it's going to be done in 10 minutes. And we're like, oh my God, we still got an hour. No.
This movie refuses painful. To end. Just refuses to end. It is, oh my dear Lord, level of dumb.
It's not the worst we've seen.
No, and the reason surprisingly.
But it got worse the more I thought about it, that's for sure. And that's how I know it's not the worst we've seen, because it took conversation for me and Christina after seeing the movie for me to realize how bad it actually was. Like when it ended, I was like, huh, what the hell did we just watch? The more we talked about it, the more I was like, yeah, it was a pretty bad film. But a bad film, you know,
like, right away. Things like at the end when they beat the main villain and everyone's saved and whatnot, and the main hero, Keo, our white boy, he's got what I assume to be his father's ashes in what looks like a Chinese food container that he's placed on the water to send off. Like, and then his dad shows up like a force ghost beside him to give him some inspirational speech.
Yes. Oh my God, yeah.
Like, I
forgot about that.
I'd completely given up on the film by the time that happened. I just, God, this movie. It's not great.
So again, I was laughing at that scene because they clearly put that thing in the water. And there was a moment where, because of the current, it wasn't going out to sea. It was just kind of rocking back.
I thought it was going to just come right back.
I thought it was coming right back. And I started laughing so hard. So I was like, I wonder if they're going to have to address that. And, but then it kind of started to slowly move away. And then they changed the camera angle. I was dying.
I cannot recommend this film. And I like bad movies. But this does not feel like a good adaptation, and it's not a great film. But if you got stuck watching it, you could find a few moments to enjoy. I would sooner say just YouTube some of the highlights, like the last fight, and have a good laugh.
And make sure you have some drinks beforehand.
Oh, yeah, at least 3.
I would hard drinks. I would strongly I strongly recommend you find every copy of this and just ignore it. Don't watch it at all.
Is it not strange how many, not just like we've covered a lot of video game adaptations in the film, but it's strange to me not just how many fighting games have been adapted, but how many fighting games have been adapted without even trying to be faithful to the source material. Like, how many tournament fighting games have we seen that don't have a tournament, or that tournament is happening under very strange circumstances?
And it's so weird because you got a movie like Bloodsport, which nails it.
Yeah.
And it's like, guys, you just got to follow the same formula.
All these games are based off of Bloodsport. And none of them can do it. Like, the most recent Mortal Kombat literally didn't have a tournament.
Yeah.
Street Fighter, which I love, but Street Fighter doesn't have a tournament.
Have a tournament.
Tekken kind of does, but in a post-apocalyptic setting of some weird kind. This one kind of does, but it's dimensional hopping. Like, they can't do a normal film.
Yeah.
But, like, it kind of does, but it kind of doesn't, because they're really just trying to fight the one guy. It's like everyone's taking turns fighting the main boss. Yeah.
Is it a tournament when it's just a guy pulling people in to purposely beat them up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Half of them don't even want to fight.
I don't know, man. It's weird. But the scary thing is, there are more of these. There are more video game adaptations of fighting games into movies. So we're not at the end yet. And no, I'm not talking sequels. There's more originals we haven't quite touched yet.
We will watch them all.
Good news. Oh, and I forgot Dead or Alive.
Watch.
We did that one. We've done so many. At least that one was a legit tournament.
Look at what we do for you. Look at what we do for our faithful listeners.
Oh, I just, don't watch this movie. There are some gems that we have stumbled across. Go watch Ace Attorney. Mm-hmm. Go watch Dragon Quest. Those are holy crap. These impressed me. I'm glad we saw them. Don't watch this. Watch Dead or Alive. That was at least a fun video game adaptation. It's bad, but it's fun.
Agreed.
You know?
Agreed.
Yeah.
This was...
That might be the best fighting game movie we've watched.
It's the most faithful one. I don't know about best, but it's the most faithful.
It's the most faithful.
I feel like 95 Mortal Kombat's still the best one. I'm going to die on that hill.
Nah, you're probably right. You're probably,
that one's still probably, the best.
Actually. You're probably right.
Yeah.
But we'll bring this one to a close. I don't know what we're doing when we come back, but we're coming back soon. We're coming back fast and hard and at least half as entertaining as this goddamn movie was. But we thank you all for joining us on Press X Relay. We're getting close to 100. It's going to happen. And then I will just give up. Get to 100. It's a quest for 100. It's happening.
Yes.
I thank you. We thank you for joining us on Press X Reload. As always, I've been Nick Moore. With me were Wayne Brissett and Mark Athanas. Gentlemen.
Us sensei.
I'll never think about it as anything other than the orgasmy now.
Succumb to the orgy. Feel the dark power of the orgy. God damn this movie.
You've been listening to Press X to Reload. Today's episode featured the voices of Mark Athanas, Wayne Brissett, and Nick Moore. Our theme music was composed by Jack Furyk and performed and realized by Sam Furyk. If you like what you've heard today, subscribe and never miss an episode. Or tell a friend, leave a review. We'll take all the bonus XP we can get. If you have suggestions or feedback, you can contact Nick Moore via his email, retrogamingfool@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you on the next stage.